Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I say the LA say in me, you know what I mean? I can say that's 80. I'm doing for 100, nigga. Let's get this money, Rollo.
Yeah. Fuck marriage to the gang. Fuck fame. Standing for nothing and standing for something, you end up the same. Fuck using this music to push that confusion. The power will prove it. It's the return of the source, nigga. It's your tuned in depth and say, of course, nigga. It's your damn flat tire, I say like four, nigga. Looking for something that's different. Give you exactly what's missing. It's the return of the source. The bottom of the night. Booty, you know what we doing, you know we ain't coming to play. Surrounded by warriors, the bold and the glory. Don't really want war with us, big as we buy it, ain't call us notorious. You be coming for the head spot, train for the head side, win some, lose some. For the heart on South Bronx, home in the heart, not that if I came from. Mixing the words and the sound and the sound surrounding you, killing the power. Put it together, the art and the rap and the jazz and the shit is a problem. Fuck marriage to the king. Fuck fame. Standing for nothing and standing for something, you end up the same. Fuck using this music to push that confusion. The power will prove it. It's the return of the source, nigga. It's your tuned in depth and say, of course, nigga. It's your damn flat tire, I say like four, nigga. Looking for something that's different. Give you exactly what's missing. It's the return of the source. Yeah, catch it like a vibe. Get you crawling up your spine. Yeah, feel good to you good, cause it's good for you now that you see that you lie. Put the game in the wrong hands, off with the wrong plan, give me that shit back. Put the beat on the 3-4 verb on the end, no nigga, that shit crack. Look at the clothes, look at the drip, look at the shit we rock. Look at the chains, look at the gold, all up through my mouth. Where you think it started, we got it from. From the heart of darkness, don't get it wrong.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. The struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer, right?
Yeah.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson, sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today. Get him where it hurts.
Starring Gary Dorden from TV CSI.
This is the military, David.
Mic check 1-2. Free the land. All right, it says I'm unmuted.
Mic check 1-2.
There it is.
Free the land.
There it is. There it is. We in this thing now. Free the land, everybody out there. This is Baba Amin Ojok of the Uhuru Academy. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what my brother Omani is tonight. We're going to discuss. But I know if you're listening out there, this is the right place. You're in the right spot. This is George Jackson Radio. You know what I'm saying? And Black Power to all those that are listening. Black Power to my brother, Bomani Shakur, you know, doing his thing. You know what I'm saying? Black Power to the whole provisional government of the Republic of New Africa and all the conscious new African citizens out there. Shout out to all black nationalist formations out there doing what you have to do to create a better future for our people. Shout out to all organizations out there that are thinking defense, out there on the front lines, defending our people, protecting our people, educating and empowering our people on ways to protect ourselves. Black Power to all those who are bringing forth economic solutions for our people, circulating a dollar among our people. Black Power to all of y'all as well. You know, Black Power to those teachers out there that are teaching the babies the truth. You know what I'm saying? Irregardless, even though it's not accepted, even though it's not allowed inside of the American public food system, those of you who are standing up and teaching our children the truth and empowering our children to build a better future for themselves, for their family, for their community, and their people. Black Power to you as well. Black Power to the black mothers out there that are holding it down, keeping the family together, teaching those African-centered family values to your children, being shining examples of young men, young women around you in your community. Black Power to you. Black Power to black fathers, brothers who are out there taking care of their families, being powerful examples for their sons, powerful examples for their daughters, being loyal to their families, responsible for their family, protecting your family, those who believe in the power, the strength, and the necessity of the black family. Black Power to you as well. You know what I'm saying? And all true allies of African people, Black Power to you as well. You know what I'm saying? And so great shout out to everybody that's in this movement. Shout out to our powerful new African president, Sister Sama Ott, our powerful vice president, Mama Ayo. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to one of our great elders, Mama Kandi, in the house. You know what I'm saying? And all the shout out to all the powerful Black Power to all the powerful new African elders within the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa and conscious citizens everywhere. My name is Baba Amin Imamu Ojuwo. I am here with my powerful queen, my powerful compliment. She's on her way, you know what I'm saying? Because she's a worker, y'all. She's a worker bee, you know, and she's a queen, a true queen bee. But she's on her way, my powerful queen and compliment, Mama Nkoyo Ojuwo, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if you like that mama title, but you know.
Don't care much for it, but hey.
You know, queen and Nkoyo Ojuwo, you know what I'm saying? And I don't hear the brother. I don't know if he's having technical difficulties, but I know we broadcasting live. I don't want to leave the show out there like that.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we know how to talk.
Right.
So I figure while brother gets it worked out, you know what I'm saying, we'll go ahead and introduce ourselves and then kind of get into talking about African-centered education. I might just interview you.
Oh, is that how we do it?
Yeah, we might just interview each other.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying, on George Jackson Radio today, you know, and just have a little fun with it. I don't know if we put up the whole 2 hours, you know. But we don't.
we'll give it a good old try.
You know, it's been times we knew he'd say. We've done 2 hours. You know what I'm saying? We've done it. So
yeah.
So we not.
Yeah.
It ain't our first rodeo. Black Power.
You hear me, Conrad? Free land.
Free the land. Free the land.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, man. I've been having technical difficulties lately, man. I have these phones, man. I'm using a backup phone right now, man. Waiting my new phone to come.
Yeah.
It's not no real quality phone, but it does the job, you know. And that's why
sir.
I wanted to say the first thing I want you to say. I want y'all to introduce yourself to the people so they can know exactly who's talking, what's going on. Introduce yourself to the people. Tell them about yourself. What you do.
All right, cool. Well, we definitely introduced ourselves. You know, again, I'm Baba Amin, and I'm with my beautiful wife, Nkoyo, and we are the Ojuwokes. We are co-founders of the, first off, we husband and wife, and we're proud parents of 8 powerful children. That's our first job.
Well, I think we're friends. We're companions. We're partners.
Yeah.
Then the family.
Yeah. Because you're my partner. We're really good friends. We have a lot of fun together. But we are also blessed to be the co-founders of the Uhura Academy, which is an African Center project. I'm sorry. We're now Uhura Academy Education Solutions,
yes.
LLC.
Yes.
You know, and
management.
Yeah. You know, I'm a little fame management, but, you know, definitely a new structure, right? Because we do more than just run a school now. You know, we've been blessed to be consultants and help set up programs, African Center programs throughout the country. We're consulting with people throughout the country and outside of the country about African Centered education. And so Uhura Academy has truly grown into a movement, into, I believe, a significant a part of the African Centered education movement. What's up?
No, I was going to say, not only are we co-creators, co-founders, and co-owners of the Uhura Academy, we also are co-creators and co-founders of the Temple of New African Unity, which is a universal spiritual group or faith, universal spiritual organization. I don't know what we're going to call it, because we're not, you know, we're not a church, we're not a mosque or a temple, but we're just a place where Africans and Africans of the diaspora, Africans from the continent alike, we meet together and we conjoin on things of alike. Mm-hmm. We come together, things that bring us together, and it becomes a spiritual thing, because, you know, our anything with us is going to be spiritual anyway. So we decided to have somewhere for everybody to come in order to not have to worry about if they're not going to be welcome because of the faith that they decide to practice. So we have that. We're also co-creators of the Operation Reconnect, which is one of our high school
Part of Uhura Academy, that's the adult education arm.
Right. We're also co-creators of the movement, the couple movement, Black Love is Black Power, where we come together as couples, power couples, powerful couples, and we come together and we just meet and we kind of exchange each other's energies and we learn from each other while we're having a good time and relaxing and resting while talking about building a nation.
Wow.
As well. And then we're also, what else we co-created? Again, we co-created six children.
Three co-raised eight. How about that? All right, yeah, you know, one of the modern day put together.
You know what I'm saying? Blended family.
You know,
co-created three, co-parented five. All of them.
All eight of them.
We do a lot together. We've created a lot together.
Oh, music.
Oh, yes.
This is D.O.K. and Ebony Essence.
And
we're hip-hop activists. I say we're hip-hop activists because we didn't do music to make the charts.
Right.
We do music to raise our people, raise the level of consciousness. We've used our music to galvanize our communities. We like to create stages and opportunities for other conscious artists to do their thing.
Right.
You know, with events like RBG Family Weekend, because
yes.
we are proud members of the RBG community,
right.
the RBG Nation. As far as I'm concerned, I'm still a national spokesman for RBG Nation.
I
you know what I'm saying? And just waiting on the marching orders from the people. And so RBG Family Weekend, y'all, is a very powerful event that we held, 7 years in a row in Fort Worth, Texas, where we brought Africans from all over, came through. And I'm talking about African Center Education conferences. I'm talking about African spirituality conferences.
Yes.
I'm talking Black Awards, RBG Awards, talking the cookout, the family cookout.
Yes.
Family reunion, vendors circulating the dollar, and no police presence.
That's right. All on and black land every time.
Because that was the key, that we get it on black-owned land, get it on black-owned property,
you
know what I'm saying, and kind of get a little glimpse of what freedom looks like, because ownership is protection.
That's
what I'm saying? And so definitely shout out to the whole family, Prime Ra, and everyone else, or members of RBG Family Weekend as well, you know what I'm saying? So that's who we are. We're born, both of us born and raised in Texas. That's where the movement started. Currently, Fort Worth, Funky Town, shout out, you know what I'm saying? Currently residing in Columbia, South Carolina, and shout out to the whole team here because we are managing consultants and instructors at Uhuru Academy, South Carolina International, okay, which is a four-acre campus on which our children are learning African-centered STEM, you know what I'm saying, from agri-science, computer science. They're learning advanced mathematics and finances from cryptocurrency, Bitcoin. You know, they have a palynomics class. Our children are learning robotics here. Our children, again, are farming here, building here. You're talking about a hands-on campus that's getting young people ready for the next level, ready for success, ownership, and sovereignty. We have the model here at Uhuru Academy SC International. I'm talking about teachers that zoom in from Africa. Fathers who are actively engaged in the school, parents who are actively engaged in the school. So what we're working on out here in South Carolina is phenomenal. Shout out to the whole team, Keontae X. Shout out to the whole team. Shea, Dr. Abdallah, Asanya, call him Dr. A, know what I'm saying? And shout out to Dr. A, he's in Senegal right now. We're establishing relationships with them brother schools on the continent right now, you know, and so that's what's up, and then brings us to our major announcement, because that's what I posted, we had a major announcement.
Okay.
And I hadn't said anything, you know, but the major announcement that we also want to make that you need to add to that resume is that Mom and Koyo and I are now co-ministers of education for the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa.
Yes, we are.
Free the land, and it's an honor to be selected to be a part of our government.
Yes.
A lot of our people still don't know that we have a government, that during the Black Power era, that a plebiscite was held, and that a governmental idea was developed, a plan of action was developed way back in 1968, and that plan of action is still being implemented today, and we are proud to be a part of that legacy. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about a government that had Robert and Mabel, in the spirit of Robert and Mabel Williams. You know what I'm saying? Baba Amin and Mama Nkoyo are here. You know, Betty Shabazz. You know what I'm saying? And so many people have been a part of building the Republic of New Africa, and it's just an honor to be a part of that legacy.
I say.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what's up, man. That's who we are, man. How was that, brother? How was that?
Very informative, brother. Very informative. You know, my first question is, what actually motivates y'all to found your Hero Academy? What motivates y'all to found your Academy? What was the purpose of it? Push that it could create the catalyst? Like, I'm going to start a university, start this academy.
For me, it was the I've been involved with working with youth in our community since 1991. You know what I'm saying? And my first action in the community was teaching the Black History class in the neighborhood. You know, in the so-called projects, Rites of Passage program, so I came into the movement from an educator standpoint. You know what I'm saying? And so through the years, I latched on to different agencies, different organizations. You know, you got to pay your bills. So you working for organizations like the Coming Up Gang Intervention Program and the Juvenile Injustice System and things like that and some advocacy programs that was out there. And it was always just putting Band-Aids on bullet wounds. You know, I would work in alternative schools. And, you know, I went that route trying to get that win-win. We say, give me a paycheck, and I'm going to try to help as much as I can in the system, you know. But I was always engaged in community-based organizations with no funding outside of that, you know. And those were always the most effective initiatives. were the ones that had no funding, that were independent, that didn't have that red tape, you know. A jackknife of mine, brother by the name of Ricky Clark, and shout out to him. He founded a school in Fort Worth, and he got an alternative school contract, and he founded a school that we called The Village in Fort Worth. And that was my first experience, my second experience with an independent black school, because the Branches had the Branches Educational Center in the early 90s, and I was lead instructor there. Then I was an instructor and actually built my first music studio inside of The Village, right? Well, these were all kinds of people with schools, but even they were restricted on what they could do, because the white man giveth the grant and the white man taketh the grant away. You understand what I'm saying? So what I learned real fast when them funds were running out, that even going that route, coming in, we got to act like we ain't as black as we are, and they find out that we teaching the children about Marcus Garvey, and we teaching children this and this. Next thing you know, you lose your relationships downtown, and the next time that grant come up, it ain't there no more. So watching my jackknife struggle because they were men and women of principle, they were good enough to do the job, and they deserved all the funding in the world, but because they were men and women of principle that were committed to teaching children the truth, they had the hardest time. And so I learned from those experiences that the only way we're going to build an educational institution that's truly for our community and for our children is if we own it and control it ourselves, period. And when we founded the Uhuru Academy, we didn't find the Uhuru Academy thinking that, you know what, we about to get a grant. We ain't never applied for no grant. We understood that we might have to have school under a tree, but we gonna have school. And since January of 2010, mm-hmm. we've had school. And we ain't missed school.
I see.
You know, and so the motivation for us as a couple, you know, was somebody has to do it. And you know, it's just our legacy and our calling to do it for our children, for their friends, you know, for the future of our community. And we walked on faith. We walked away from corporate America.
Right.
We walked away from jobs. I ain't had a job since 2010, you know.
Right.
It was barely going to the last one I had. But we walked away from that and through everything into building of the Uhuru Academy. And I just have to say that the ancestors called us to do it because that's who's been protecting us and looking out for us the whole way.
I say, I concur.
True indeed.
Right.
You have anything to
add to that,
sister?
Well, like I said, I concur, meaning I definitely agree with him because educating our babies, it wasn't on my forefront because I was in the business of doing it for my own children. I had three children already when we got together. So I was teaching them, educating them, working in the church. I come from a church. I was in the church for over 16 years, but I believed in outreach. I believed in that we needed to get out. We couldn't hold whatever the blessings, whatever the goodness, whatever it was we had in within ourselves. We could not contain that to ourselves. So we had to get out and educate others. So when Amin and I talked about what we, you know, what his vision was, what the vision that the Creator gave to him, I can only say yes. I agree, because that just goes along with what I was already wanting to do. We met while working, doing work in the community anyway, and so that, why not? Let's join it together and let's make it a powerful thing. And I believe that, you know, when we know, when we're educated on things of the past, the things of the future, and definitely living the things out in the present, that we can just make our legacy grow even stronger, and we can repair and rehabilitate what our ancestors were doing as well. So we're just continuing that legacy of our ancestors.
True indeed. My next question is, for the people who do not know, what exactly is Afrocentered education? What is that? What does it mean?
All right. African Center Education, in the short, and of course, let me preface this by saying we didn't invent African Center Education. That the African Center Education movement, you know, as far as the African Center School movement, has been going on at least since the late 60s, early 70s. And we definitely want to pay homage to all the brothers and sisters like the Nation House Schools and others, all the institutions associated with CBI, the Council of Independent Black Institutions.
Okay.
We definitely want to shout out to the Organization of Black Unity in San Antonio, Texas, and other institutions that have been here and been around and been models for us. And so in our studies, what we've learned is that African-centered education in short form is education that is taught from the perspective of the history and the future of African people. So if you want a quick definition, that's what it is. Every aspect of our education is geared towards our children and us understanding our place in the world and becoming empowered to either improve that place, move that place, define that place, determine that place. The spirit of Kuji Chagulia is deeply rooted in African-centered education. African-centered education is also empowerment-based education. In other words, it's not just a black history class that teaches you that you come from kings and queens. African-centered education is geared towards empowering us to build based on what we've learned,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And what you find is that everybody don't wear red, black, and green. You know what I'm saying? But you got people who don't wear no red, black, and green, but they can build a house from scratch.
Right.
And they believe in building communities, and they believe in building an independent black community. They just ain't even articulated the way that others do. And then you got some that dress up and play the part, you know, but yeah, they're going to be at their desk on Monday morning eating a cheese sandwich answering to their European name.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm saying? And so African-centered education prepares us to be us all the time. Not just some of the time. You know what I'm saying? So that's what African-centered education is. It's centered on the repair. It's centered on the repair and the elevation of African people globally, which helps humanity. Any member of the human family who feels like the elevation and liberation of the African is a bad thing, they not a friend to humanity, let alone being a friend to Africa.
You see.
True, indeed.
So that's what African-centered education is.
Okay. You have anything to add on to that, sister?
No, sir. You summed it all up.
Okay.
A lot of times, I'm the face on the can, and Mama and Koyo's the suit.
Okay.
You know.
My next question is how did you come up with the name Yuhiro Academy? How did you come up with that name? What was the significance of that name,
okay,
so to speak?
All right. Well, you know, Uhuru, it means freedom. And for us in African education, freedom doesn't mean free to do whatever you want to do.
Right.
Freedom is responsibility. Freedom means I take up the responsibility for my well-being, for my food, for my clothing, for my shelter. You achieve freedom when you accept the work that comes along with it, you know. And so the Freedom Academy, or Uhuru Academy, is also the Working Academy. You know, it's about work, and it's about changing the paradigm, the attitude towards work that many of us have. And we believe that when you see the goal, when you see and you truly believe what you're working for, like believe it in your core, then you run to that work. You can't wait to get to that work. You can't wait to fight for it. You can't wait to defend it. So that's where Uhuru came from, just freedom, right? The Freedom Academy, but not to do whatever you want to do the academy, but the let's get this work in, because freedom ain't free academy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's where it came from, you know. And then we stand on four pillars, you know, and those pillars are spirituality, knowledge, freedom, and transformation, you know. And the thinking behind that was definitely we have to know self. Knowledge is power, right? And not just know self, because we're not just an African history class, but hell, know what's at the bottom of the ocean and what's at the top of the sky.
Right.
And know everything that's in between. you know, because we're here and we have a relationship. I ain't going to say dominion because that's a European term. Europeans want dominion over everything. We have a divine relationship with the universe, a divine complementary relationship with nature, so knowledge, spirituality, right? Uhura Academy is not does not proselytize a particular faith. But Uhura Academy takes a universalist approach to spirituality. We encourage our students, come in here, respect the spiritual tenets of your household, you know, because if you're at the Uhura Academy, you're number one. We know you got a black God because don't know white gods make it through the door, right? Mm-hmm. So we tell parents that in the interview. I'm telling you right now, Jesus ain't black at our school.
Uh-huh.
And our line ain't just a spirit. But anyway, but we do promote spirituality. There's never been a mighty African nation that wasn't spiritual at its base and at its core. When you look at ancient Kemet, when you look at the temples, when you look at the ancient warriors, ancient African kings and queens throughout the diaspora, there was a very strong spiritual component in everything that they built. So spirituality is another pillar that we stand on. And then, of course, freedom. Again, freedom is responsibility, right? And that's our third pillar, y'all. We have to do this ourselves. This is up to us, period, right?
Yes, right. Indeed.
And then transformation. You know, transformation is a natural occurrence. We're all transforming every day. But the role of a institution of learning is to help guide that transformation. It's to help give that transformation the atmosphere that it needs. You can't just put a cocoon in the freezer and expect a butterfly to come out.
I see. Okay.
And so in public school, it's like we're putting cocoons in a freezer, and we expect butterflies to come out, right? So we want to provide that cocoon, or we want to provide the environment for the cocoon, the perfect environment. So a beautiful butterfly can emerge with the most beautiful and widespread wings. You know what I'm saying? We can fly as far as it wants to. So transformation is another of our pillar because we want to be a catalyst to help us form into our full potential. So that's the motivation, you know, and that's how we came up with the name. We designed the shield. I just Bug and Koyo and come look at this. You know, back in early Photoshop days, you know what I'm saying? They're like, come look at this. What do you think? What are you thinking? And so when you look at the school shield, you're gonna see pyramids. You're gonna see Africa. Some say upside down, but it's actually right side up. And because we see the world through the eyes of our ancestors, and they saw the world through the direction of the Nile River, which flows from south to north. That's who we are. We stand on that shield. We stand on that foundation, and that's a shield and a foundation that's gonna be here for generations to come. The ancestors and creator say the same.
I say we believe in the name and the process of the Uhuru so much that we named our first child together Uhuru because we believe so much in freedom. We want them to be our children to be free and be born into freedom so that they may experience nothing but freedom of thought, freedom of expression, freedom of their actions, freedom of life where they live. So we named our son Freedom. And then we believe so much as well, those pillars. We named our next daughter Uzuri, which it means beautiful. And I believe that symbolizes transformation so that we can change the narrative that our people see of ourselves, of themselves, and turn to a beautiful story that you are beautiful just the way you are, who you are. The history that you have does not define you so much as it does define you, if that makes sense. And then our third child, last child we had, was Usawa, and that's balance, and I believe that is a symbolization of spirituality because there's that balance, but balance between the spirituality and the earth, and it all goes together. Without one, we cannot have the other. So we believe wholeheartedly in that, and by, like I said, using those principles and those values and naming our children, and that's what we instill in them, also those in our physical campus and our online campus every day.
I see.
Man, I can dig it. I also want to ask you both, what exactly y'all names mean? What exactly y'all names mean, and what language did they come from?
All right. Well, the name given to me, Baba Amin Imamu Ojuwo. Of course, Baba is father, you know, in my case, I am a father, but also a leader in my community, and a father of my extended family as well. And then you have Amin, which means trustworthy friend, Imamu, one who walks with God, and Ojiwoke, I believe, is moving in the spirit of God, and that's what that is.
Yes, yes. And for myself, Nkoyo Bina Hioni Ojiwoke, and Nkoyo means woman who can do all things, and that was the name that was given to me by my my community, my husband is included. And believing that the woman can do all things, especially the black woman, the African woman. She is the mother of all things. She's the mother of creation. So we could do, and you know, mama's always multitasking. We can do a whole, we got about eight arms when we really just had these two, but we're functioning like we got those eight arms. So the woman who can do all things, Keone, believe it is, she who is strong and power, and then being a who can dance. She loves to dance. But she loves to dance. And, of course, Ojiwoke, like you said, our family name is one who walks with God. So that is the name. And those names, the Swahili and also Zulu. Mine is Zulu. Because I have been known to have a little strong disposition to Zulu, which fits me. Zulu fits me well.
Yeah.
One who sees.
Oh, yeah. See how the Zulu is. Kill him.
I can do it. Oh,
yes.
Yeah, the names are very important, especially when gaining the African identity. Or even a new African identity, names are very important, especially going from a historical perspective, a scientific perspective, a cultural perspective. You know, the names are very important, spiritually as well. They're very important in regard to regaining some of your sanity back, or regaining some of your life back in regards to who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like a rebirth process, a reborn.
Yes, and that's definitely what it, when we decided that we were going to go ahead and be okay with correcting our names, we didn't want it to be something what we saw in ourselves or what we wanted to be. We wanted it to be very, again, going back to the spiritual aspect, so we had our community. What did you see, or those, our community and our family and friends, that they had to describe what when you hear the person that is formerly called what we would call, what do you see? What are the attributes of God that you see? And those attributes, we went in and people went into prayer, and then they went in and found those names in whatever the Swahili, whether it was Zulu, whether it was a Kenyan, whether it was whatever native tongue that it was from, and that's what we became. We went into prayer after that, and just to make certain that these names were going to, you know, mesh with the person and their personality. And every time we've done many naming ceremonies, with us being first, of course, the guinea pigs, but it always worked out. It always fit us to the T, and we embodied those that names and those attributes. And it also, anytime we heard those names, it reminds us of the mission that we have and who we are. And so we continue to live out those meanings of those names. So it and this being by it also reminds us that we're Africans, born again Africans, if you want to take it in Christian terms. You know, we are the new Africans, as we say, and that we self-determine those things for us, because we were brought here and mixed up in all kinds of ways. So we self-determine, and we're going to take it from wherever we want to get, whatever speaks to our spirit, and that's what we do. So if that makes sense, that's what that's why we're so adamant by correcting those names. And like I said, we've done many corrections, and everyone has been, you know, essentially very ecstatic about the names that they were given, and grateful, because, you know, we didn't just go and pick a name out the hat. We actually paid some attention and actually took our time in doing that.
True, indeed. That's a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. Not just yourself. That's your first step in transformation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
my next question is, if an individual, wanted to enroll to your school, how would they do so?
All right, you want to enroll in Uhuru Academy? First, you go to uhuruacademy.com, uhuruacademy.com. All right, and we're always hiring. We're always enrolling.
Okay.
Don't stop. We had an education crisis, but we always enrolling. So you go to uhuruacademy.com. Depending on which program you want to enroll in, if you're looking to enroll into our online program, you would hit the UA Online tab. Okay, and that'll take you to all the information you need about UA Online and the curriculum and the online registration form. Once you, if you are Operation Reconnect, an older student, 16 and up, and you stopped out of school and you want to get into our accelerated high school diploma and life plan program called Operation Reconnect, you will go to uhuruacademy.com, hit Operation Reconnect, and the information and registration form is right there for you. If you want to enroll into our summer school, because we have three summer school sessions every summer. Our first summer school session is in June. It runs from June 14th to June 25th. You can, again, you go to uhuruacademy.com, hit the Uhuru Academy Summer School, and the registration is waiting for you there. Once you register for whichever program that you've decided to be in, somebody will be in contact with 48 hours, hopefully, because we're growing. Yeah, we got some good kind of problems. But we'll get to you as soon as we can, and that's where we conduct the interview. Well, the application is an interview because we ask you how you feel on the application, right? You get past that application, we can talk. You know, and so once we talk and we determine if it's going to be a good fit for you, then you're enrolled. Well, you pay your tuition, and then you enroll, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And not to sound ultra-capitalist, but we are a tuition-based school.
Okay.
Everything we do is tuition-based. I have no qualms in asking black people for money, all right? And just know that we circulate those dollars once we get them, you know, and we support black-owned businesses as well, and we invest in our schools. We invest heavily in our programs, you know, and we barter and trade with our parents as well. So we don't just stop at money. Somebody offer me a Bitcoin. Come on in. You know what I'm saying? But we have parents who teach in exchange for tuition, you know, parents who help with administrative work, admin work in exchange for tuition. You know, we got one beautiful brother, beautiful father, and shout out to Big Hyru, you know what I'm saying, who sends us woodwork. That in turn we gift to our students, gift to our families. Some of it we sell, but he gifts us with woodwork every month to cover his son's tuition. Man, it's just an exciting time, y'all, and it's a great time to get on board. If you're in the Columbia, South Carolina area, you visit uhuruacademysc.org, all right, if you want to enroll in our campus. And we're enrolling here from third grade up to eighth grade. So we're excited about that as well, and we are currently interviewing families for next fall for our campus program. So that's what's up. Everything's a speech with me, man. You asked me a simple question. Everything's a speech. I know.
There's nothing wrong with it, brother. There's nothing wrong with articulating yourself, man. That's a great thing. You got to be able to express your own thoughts. If you don't, somebody's going to express it for you.
I say.
You ain't never lied, you know. So that's how you do it. That's how you would apply to the Uhuru Academy.
Okay. What are some of the things that a student should expect in regards to enroll to this academy? What are some of the things to expect in regards to, like, what kind of type of curriculum? Is certain books you got to order, or is it certain type of tenets you got to follow, certain type of order and discipline? What are some of the things to expect?
Program, we pretty much provide the supplies that they need when they come on campus. What they can expect is an experience with David. They come home feeling more powerful than they felt when they left the house.
Right.
You know, they can expect an environment of love, full of love, full of culture, full of positive energy, and full of accountability.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's that they can expect. They can expect to be challenged. If they've been in a public school, they can expect it to be different because because we're not like public school. We don't seek to mimic public school, you know what I'm saying, at all. Yep. So you know, you will orient your thinking. You have to orient your thinking a little different when you engage with the Uhuru Academy. But it's an empowerment type thing. You feel empowered. Parents can expect to feel empowered and engaged in their children's education without having to be at the school as much as they was at that public school behind their baby maybe being in trouble or whatever. You know what I'm saying? With our online program, again, no supplies. We set the accounts up. We use some third-party accounts for some of the stuff we do. Most of the curriculum we create, we interact. It's not like what public school do with their online and sign them up and say, here go your assignments and just leave them alone. Mm-hmm. No, man, we interact with our students from the time they log on in the morning to the time they log off. They get exercise during the day. Hey, we got a self-defense class that goes on during the day. We do writing workshops. Brothers coming in teaching cybersecurity, coding, and that sort of thing. We have special guests like M.K. Asante Jr. visited us after Kwanzaa. Yeah. How cool is that to watch the documentary, The Black Candle, and the brother that made the documentary come visit our classroom. You know, tomorrow we watching Coach Carter, and Friday, Coach Carter, the real Coach Carter, not Sam Yale, the real Coach Carter is coming into our classroom to talk about his story, you know. And so we provide them with a hands-on experiences online. We help them build their computer skills and STEM skills. So you can expect that.
Life skills. Mm-hmm. They're going to learn multiple languages. They're not just going to be focused on one language. We definitely teach them some skill building where they're going to, like I said, they're going to learn coding. Our babies are going to learn to type again. You know, a lot of our babies don't learn to type unless they're getting typing from being on the computer anyway. So they get their skills. But our children are literally going in and doing and learning
typing. We got a 12-year-old, a 13-year-old that's typing 94 words a minute.
94 words per minute.
When he going to cybersecurity, he's going to be able to hack everybody. It's fast.
Yeah. We need help.
You know what I'm saying? I'd rather go get on that. You know, it's a beautiful thing watching them grow, watching them blossom, and getting the most out of the experience. And we're not the school today that we're going to be. You know, we have a lot that we need in order to sustain what we're doing. Uhuru Academy did not pop up out of a box, out of a toaster, and there's no hidden a treasure box that we're pulling money from. We finance most of this stuff by ourselves, on our own, through fundraising, through the community helping us as well, you know, through tuitions. And tuitions ain't enough to carry it on by itself. You know what I'm saying?
Through our music. Everything we do goes right back into the school.
Yeah, it goes right back into the school. So it's a labor of love, you know. But now we have positioned ourselves in our relationships to where we can get these programs fully funded, and we have models that we can show communities to set up your own independent school.
Right.
Our campus out here in South Carolina, we don't own this campus. Yes. Deontay X and the Washington family own this campus. We're managing consultants. We're the trainers. We're the inspiration, that sort of thing, right? The fundraisers, because I ain't scared to get out here and ask for money for something that deserves it, right? And so, you know, we built this campus out here, and it's ready. It's ready for any new African, any African that say, you know what, I want to build that so we can duplicate that. It's ready. You know what I'm saying? It could be done. You know, like right now we are in our fundraising period for Uhuru Academy SC. And so we want, you know, what's the Cash App? Cash App, UASC International. Right. And we want people to go on and begin to give because we're raising $1,000 between now and July. We're raising $50,000 to build a solar power greenhouse and a science lab on the farm here at Uhuru Academy SC. That's what we're doing. And then once we hit July, August, that's going to be our fundraising cycle for UA Online.
Right.
I want to send every child that's engaged in our program a netbook. So they can have the equipment they need to be online. I want to develop at least 10 scholarships this year because I want to reach into the communities that are having issues with the digital divide.
Right.
Not only provide them with the equipment they need, provide them with the scholarship, and hopefully we can develop some sort of internet service scholarship where we can make sure that the family has access to the internet as well. You know what I'm saying? So you know, we can't. If you think small, you get small. But, you know, we think in terms of how can we empower the people, which in turn will empower our institution, you know. So you know, we don't, and I don't buy that noise that black folks don't support black folks, because we wouldn't be here if black people didn't support black people.
I
know black people support black people. You know, you can't talk me off of that, right? And if you're going to be in this, you have to move that way. You can't let that frustration, that black inferiority complex get with you. As soon as black folk don't support it come out your mouth, you just ate a black inferiority sandwich.
I see.
True indeed. You know, the temp on new Afro unity, right? What actually is the Napier there? What are some of the activities that take place there? Like y'all saying, like it's a place where people can come in and practice what they practice and be comfortable within their own environment, right? But tell me a little more about it in regards to some of the activities that take place in there.
Okay. Well, the motivation behind Temple was, you know, we noticed like a real surge in the culture in the early 2000s and people weren't grabbing on the different lecturers and different personalities. And so grabbing on, I'm from the late 80s, early 90s. I got mine in the early 90s. So I come from the days where you had to go to the bookstore to get some Dr. Kyler. You had to wait till he came to town or buy the tape. You know what I'm saying? There wasn't no YouTube to get on, you know. So there wasn't no YouTube scholarship available when I came up. So you had to actually go through something to get it. And the people who were into it were usually people who were into the cultural aspect of it. Like if you knew something about the Nation of Islam back in the day, you had to be around some Muslims. You didn't have no video you could really go watch. You know what I'm saying? And what that did, it gave us a certain reverence for the spiritual aspect of struggle that I felt that when we were able to get it in a microwave, like YouTube and that sort of thing, we were running into organizing problems, because you have people who got knowledge, they got the fervor and that sort of thing, but they ain't got the morality.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't got the moral compass. You know, they don't have the conviction. You know, they haven't married that. So you're kind of bringing a lot of the negativity you was doing before you got quote-unquote woke. Now you're doing it woke. Like you used to smash on the females, now you just elevating the queens. But it's really the same action. You just gave it a fancy name. You really still just smashing. You understand what I'm saying? And so we found a spiritual void that was there. And we didn't, you know, and so Temple, part of the motivation behind Temple was provide a safe space where we can come together and fellowship along lines of those culture core values that we all have in common. Most spiritual systems believe in doing unto others as you would like others to do unto you. Most spiritual systems believe in thou shalt not kill, you know, unless it's in self-defense. Most spiritual systems have core values that are in common. So we said, let's create a place where the Muslim, black Muslim can come, black Christian can come, the Moor can come, the Hebrew can come, the RBG can come, right? And we're going to come in the name of our common ancestors, our common struggle, and our only religion is going to be black people coming together. We believe in a resurrection just like the Christians,
except
we believe in a resurrection of African people throughout the diaspora. He's coming back, bink, 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 like he said he would, like we believe everything going to be all right.
Okay.
We believe there's going to be a resurrection, a reckoning, and a rapture, but we believe that resurrection is going to be the resurrection of African people in the diaspora. And that's what the pillar of that faith is. So when you come in, whether you're a Hebrew, Moor, or whatever, don't you believe in black? You got to believe in black folk if you come in here talking about we God.
Mm-hmm.
That you must believe in black people.
Right.
If you're saying that we're more than we're, this is what we really are. Well, if that's what we really are, then you must really believe in us. Can you come among other black people who are not Moors, right, and talk about those things that we have in common and wish well for each other? I want the Moorish nation to be powerful and strong. I want the RBG nation to be powerful and strong, the African-centered Christian nation powerful and strong, the African-Muslim nation. I want them all to be powerful and strong. If I walk out my house and I got a Rasta on my left, a black Muslim on my right, a Hebrew across the street, long as he ain't got a microphone, and the Moors down there, then I got a cool neighborhood. That Hebrew going to be out there yelling at everybody, but we're going to have a cool neighborhood.
Right, right.
My children going to be safe.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If right. You're going to be safe. You know, and so we wanted to create a space where we can all come and respect one another. We ain't got to be one another. Let's respect one another, respect what we have in common so we can do business. And we really did a lot of business through
yes,
Temple.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's no RBG Family Weekend without Temple.
All right. Yep.
Because we wouldn't have had the temperament. By the time August came, if we hadn't been meeting every Sunday, loving on each other,
right,
encouraging, correcting each other's names and going through that journey, we wouldn't have the temperament to bring hundreds of black people to one spot, you know, with no security. Folks been beefing on Facebook all year. You know what kind of energy you have to have all these people to come to one place and get there and say, I don't even want to fight no more.
Yeah, right.
This so beautiful. The way y'all treat us, I don't even want to fight no more.
Right.
You know. And Temple was a part of helping us understand that when we brought, because when we bring you to RBG Family Weekend, we serve you.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
We feed you.
Right.
We house. We
right.
try to house you and
right.
get you a good deal somewhere.
Right.
We drive you around.
Right.
You know, from the guttermost to the uttermost.
Right.
And we don't invite nobody famous. They can all come. We let them know, but we don't invite them.
Yeah.
You'll never see a RBG Family nope. Weekend fly to say, featuring
right.
Drake, featuring
right.
featuring this person, that person. No, you the star black man,
right.
you the star black woman.
Right.
This is our thing, and that's what the spirit behind that is the Temple of New African Unity spirit. We are African centered universalists, man. Our only religion is us come learning how to come together.
And then a lot of the activities that we had going on there were, like I said, we corrected names on a regular basis. We married people on a regular basis. There was every year for our RBG Family Weekend, we had a ceremony where we were joining two people together. We've done that. So sometimes three, yes. I mean, that's the beautiful thing of it, again, because we're a temple. We don't discriminate, and we've done that. We've gone out into the community, and we've served our community all the time, and we've done this, again, without asking permission. We haven't asked if we can do this. Can we go in here? We just go. We show up, and we do what we do. And other activities, we've done study groups. We've had conferences. We have a spiritual conference at the African Center Education Conference. We've had the solutionary panel where we've come together and we've gone over to others. We've done fundraisers for our school, African American, the Uhuru Academy. We've also done, we raised money also for the other school in Dallas. So
awesome.
We've done numerous of fundraisers. We brought in, and we've discovered quite a few of your most beloved leaders and lecturers that you guys you listen to now. But you know, we won't name in many names anymore. But we've helped put on a couple, and we knew them before they were actually documentary ready. One, two, and three, and things of that nature. So, but we're humble in the fact that we weren't doing that so that we could put you up with that because you spoke well and you got the people's energy. We brought you in because we believed that you believed in what we believed in, and we're gonna bring you in and see what you can do and how you can combine with us. Come in and be and partner with us, and we're gonna make this and do what we do for our people. We go out into community. That's what you're going to do. You didn't come in and just get to speak and hop and hoorah and get applauded and accolades. You had to go out and put in some work before you even got to touch our stage or come speak to our babies at the school. So those are some of the activities that
we have famous people helping people move.
Right, right.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, man, we're going to go over and help brothers.
Yes.
Couch, man.
Yes.
Let's go.
Yes.
King.
Yes.
Kings,
yes.
Generals.
Yes. And
fire.
Right.
Off, y'all. Let's go.
We have other activities that we do. Like I said, we also come together and we do counseling sessions. We've done that. We've also done, many groups where we've done reading books and come together and study groups and, study to show thyself approved.
Yeah,
whatever.
You're more Bible than me.
I'm not talking about the scripture, but that's just a book. My bad. Commune yourself.
I ain't
not
Barbie. I was
yeah, know thyself
yeah.
or something like that.
Yeah,
so we've done a whole bunch. So those are some of the activities that the the Temple of New African Unity. We everything was going to be centered around educating, re-educating ourselves mm-hmm. back to who we know we were before the Northern Europeans stepped onto our lands and in
right.
Africa. So that's what we did. That's what we do.
True indeed. True indeed. You know, education for liberation. In regards to the RBG Family Weekend, right? You know, for the people who don't mm-hmm. understand or even know, what exactly is RBG? What exactly is that? And how exactly is it a movement or a nation, so to speak?
Wow. Well, first, shout out to Askari X, you know, who really coined that phrase RBG, you know what I'm saying? And of course, we say red, black, and green, mm-hmm. but in hip-hop terms, it was also Righteous Black Gorillas at one time, Revolutionary but Gangster when Dead Prez mm-hmm. got in. They gave props to Askari X for it. And it's something, a subculture within black nationalism that took on a life of its own. You know what I'm saying? And in its rawest form, you know, RBG is kind of like the bridge. That bridge from the streets to organizing, you know what I'm saying? And so being a part of that, or becoming a part of that movement, it was a movement that really emerged in our city, you know what I'm saying, with Lone Star RBG, with brothers like Supreme Rock Africa, with brothers like Aliq Africa, and RBG Reggie and others who came together and formed Lone Star RBG in response to some police terrorism that was going on in the community. They honored me by asking me to come on and be a spiritual advisor for Lone Star RBG. And I became, because I'm an MC and I'm from the streets and all that kind of stuff too, I got immersed in the culture myself and we became RBG family. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so the RBG culture is one that represents black liberation, African liberation, African sovereignty, you know, but it's one that is geared towards communicating to the people in the people's current language, whatever it is. It's a validating culture that says, you know what, you already African. Can't nobody make you African or take that away. You already African as you are. Now commit to building, and the transformation is going to happen naturally. You know what I'm saying? And so the RBG culture for us has been a means and a vehicle to get working class Africans and black people who may be in the streets, black people who may come from the hood or whatever, more engaged in the African liberation struggle. You know, Tupac Shakur had thug life, you know, and he had the thug codes. And so since, you know, ever since the rise of street organizations and that ilk in our community, there's always been bridges to African liberation, because there are a lot of similarities. There are a lot, you know, even going back to George Jackson and others, and back in the 60s, the Panthers and that sort of thing. You know what I'm saying? Movements that are directly linked in the neighborhood,
yes.
That's going to get food to the children, you know, that's going to get protection to the women and that sort of thing. That appeal to the brothers in the neighborhood that are already doing that.
Yes.
They just don't have that information or need that extra discipline, that extra support, or haven't found the justification for feeling the way they feel when they want to go out and actually physically defend their community. You know what I'm saying? So RBG helped, the RBG culture and RBG movement helps articulate that.
And then we give honor to Marcus Mosiah Garvey.
We give honor to Marcus Mosiah Garvey as well, and an acknowledgement and giving honor and support to all the political prisoners that are still behind the wall. So RBG, you know, is music, is culture. You know, some call it cultural nationalism, and I don't have a problem with that, you know, because the musical aspect of it is a huge aspect, a huge part of the RBG movement, you know. And, man, we every year at RBG Family Weekend, we bring in RBG artists from all over the country to perform. And then from that, we started organizing concerts in other areas. Like Arkansas, we have the Pilgrims Massacre every November. In North Carolina, QC North Carolina, you know what I'm saying, we had the Gas Chamber concert, you know, with Outlaw RBG in Atlanta. You know, we had the Black Power Awards, and we had other shows and concerts going on. So our goal, our ultimate goal, is to really create a tour, create a circuit, you know, and create safe spaces and stages for artists that want to express African liberation in their music. We want to build spaces for them to perform. So you ain't got to say, well, man, I got to do this strip club song so I can get on. No, man, we'll get you on. If we support one another, we can put each other on. We don't need to be on their chart. Let's write our own chart. And that's the RBG attitude, too. You know, we don't want to just do music. We want to own our music industry.
That's right.
You know, and so RBG is ownership, and it's ownership with attitude, OWA.
True indeed.
Yeah.
True indeed. I have one more question, then I'm over the lines for the callers, right? My next question is, what actually inspired y'all to become conscious new African citizens? You know what I'm saying? What was the motivation behind it?
We talked about where we were headed as a family. We talked about a few years ago, probably around 2016, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
We've been aware of the Provisional Government of the Republic of New Africa for a while, but I hadn't been actively involved. We've been involved with the Malcolm X grassroots movement,
mm-hmm.
But we hadn't actively been involved with the Provisional Government or even in declaring ourselves New African citizens or conscious mm-hmm. citizens, right? And we talked about our direction a few years ago, and we said, you know, ultimately the goal is to build a nation.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately the goal is to be a part of an independent African nation, one that we run, that we
right.
control, that we are a part of, that the people control. And we said, why reinvent the wheel?
Right.
We started RBG Nation,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm looking at that. I'm like, well, you know, we need experience, though. You have to, you know, this stuff is here already. Let's look at the formations that are here. Let's look at NCOBRA.
Right.
Let's look at the Provisional Government of Republic New Africa and see what it is. And when we looked at it and we saw the code, we read the Code of Umoja and learned a lot of the history, we was like, you know what? Let's be a part. Let's do our part. Let's declare ourselves as conscious citizens, and let's get engaged in this formation that's been here since 1968 and see if what we're building, right, can it goes right along with that. Let's be a part of this government, a part of this nation. How does a nation become a nation? It don't pop up out of a toaster.
Right.
It takes generations to build a nation, you know, and so that was the inspiration. For us to get involved and get engaged with the PGRNA. And then when Madam President let us know about, you know, we've always wanted to get involved in a deeper sense. And when the opportunity came,
we spoke
a couple years ago at the Charles Wright Museum. We spoke at mm-hmm. We actually did a rite of passage.
Did a rite of passage.
Yeah, we did a rite of passage for the youth in Detroit at the Charles Wright Museum for the 50th anniversary,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we really got opportunities then, and we were going to set up a district. We were trying to
right.
set up a district
right.
in Dallas Fort Worth,
right.
but we ended up moving.
Right.
We ended up moving to South Carolina, you know, and so, but we've always been here. And then when we were called to serve, As co-minister of education,
yeah.
we answered the call.
We're
deeply honored.
Right,
and
right.
we answered the call.
Right.
Because we believe that the plan that we have, education for the Uhura Academy, right, it really is a plan for education for the black nation.
Yes, I say.
Yeah, so here we are. Let's get it.
I say. Free the land.
By any means, necessary.
Ain't necessary. But we can laugh and make all we wrong. Like none of our meetings are all that organized.
No.
Like, we really wrong. You know, we'd be in the RNA meeting and be like, oh, okay, you're going to say
how
you feel.
Yeah, right. Well,
you know how to do it. What's going on? Like,
so we're learning.
We're learning. And it's an honor, though, because the elders, what was it, the methodology that's
yes.
been passed down,
yes.
the systems yes. that have been passed yes. down from generation to generation.
Yeah.
Man, it's an honor to be next to that up close and personal, because now you see how the ancestors and how elders were able to accomplish a lot of things they were accomplishing.
Right.
You know, so it's like we're coming in with this raw energy, you know, but we're surrounded by polish. Now it's time to polish it up and really get organized. And so we're excited to be a part of it.
Okay.
No doubt. Again, I want to thank y'all for coming onto the platform to share your knowledge with our understanding. I want to thank you for the work that y'all have put in the past, the work you do in the present, the work you do in the future. I'm going to say free the land, sure. long live the New African Independent Movement, up and open the lineup for the callers. our first caller is
Might be that phone. The first caller is. I don't know if he can hear us.
He's still on air. He's
still on air. Yeah, we're still definitely still on air. That's 40 minutes and 3 minutes.
Hold on, man. I'm trying to get it together.
Okay.
Oh, okay, cool.
You know why he's doing that. I love you, Mama. You're all right. I don't care if everybody here. Yeah, I'm sprung.
Okay, my first call is 817-902. Your line is open. If you have a question, comment, statement to make, lead us with a time. 817-902, your line is open.
What's happening? It's Supreme Rock Africa.
Black Power, what's up,
Supreme? That's our brother, our comrade.
One of the original Hulu Academy parents, and it's still one of the greatest supporters that we have.
I say.
Hey, man, what's up with it, man? I'm just calling, checking in, man. You know I'm supporting. Yeah.
I say.
You know, I fucks with my boy, High Key, you know.
Yeah. All right. That's it.
Hey,
yeah,
Green,
man.
Great job with the scholarship fundraiser that you just organized for the school, man.
I appreciate that, man. You know, I'm going to make it do what it do, man. There's still some people pledging throughout the week, so it's all good.
That's what's up.
I know, something came in today. I'm like, that God Dog Supreme Rock Africa. I thought it might have been somebody you was arguing with.
It might be. We take all our money, you know what I'm saying?
I know it's turning a Facebook beef into a donation.
I'm working on one right now.
Yeah, man.
We
appreciate you, black man.
Sir, man, I appreciate the show, man. I'm going to put this on my podcast list. George Jackson Radio.
Well, I say, George Jackson Radio.
No doubt. I thought we had you on a couple of years ago, bro. I think we interviewed you a couple of years ago on before one time.
Yeah, probably, man. You know, I smoke a lot of weed, so my memory bad, man. But yeah, man, I've made my rounds on the podcast, man. So if I did, man, I appreciate that opportunity, man.
Dang, man.
I got you, man.
Thank you, man.
I respect you being authentic, brother, about yourself, man. I respect that, man. That's what it's all about, man. Keeping even more authentic about themselves. You know, take accountability.
Yeah, I talked about earlier,
so I respect that.
I try to, man. I try to keep it as 100 as possible, man. I'm just coming back from a delivery. This is the last delivery for the day. The grind don't stop.
Hey, support the pull-up. Best things in the state of Texas, period.
That's right, man. Peace and black power, after.
Black power, bro.
Yes, sir. Free line. Okay. I'm up for the next call. Let's see the next call.
Free
the
Land family,
Mama
Amin and Sister
Nkoyo.
This is Mama Ayo. How you doing?
Free the Land, Mama Ayo.
It's you. Everything is beautiful. You know, everything is beautiful. We are, as I said, we are very honored to have you as co-ministers of the Ministry of Education, bringing all your talents and all of your, you know, your divine marriage, everything.
I just want to
congratulate you and make sure that we just bless you up and you continue. You know your steps are anointed, so we are looking forward to
good thing.
We are
more honored today to be in the midst of, you know, great wisdom and even more the greater commitment that you guys and conviction that you guys bring to to the table. So we just honored to be in the midst of all this. You know, we honored to be on the level up, you know what I'm saying? So
we, surrounded by warriors that we can learn from.
Right, I see.
Thank you, thank you.
Well,
yeah,
each one,
standing
teach
on great
one.
Shoulders.
That's right.
Great shoulders, great shoulders. We got a lot of, you know, just a lot of wisdom and experience that's helping us to guide this rebuild process. So, you know, we're working. We have a beautiful website, and I have a couple of questions for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Eventually, we're going to ask new Africans to come to this website, pgrna.com, pg-rna.com. And let's just say that there's going to be a button for the Ministry of Education. And how would you envision if they went in and was looking for some information about homeschooling versus new African, and then another section that is talking about new African-centered education if they went to an institution versus homeschooling? How would you envision would be the kind of the founding principles that you would want to have on that website? Can you give me just kind of a brief overview of what you envision?
I can definitely give a brief overview, Mama Ayo. When people visit the PGRNA website and they go in and to talk and to see what's going on with our ministry, you know what I'm saying? I want to empower. Number one, I want them to come away empowered. I love when you mentioned, homeschooling and African-centered education. We definitely want them to be able to see the definition of African-centered education. We definitely want to let them know that the PGRNA stands firmly with the African-centered education movement. We want conscious citizens and new Africans, all new Africans, to come to the website and come away from it feeling like, you know what, this is something we can do.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
So definitely we want to put in about homeschooling and homeschooling resources. We don't reinvent wheels. There are great homeschooling conferences out there. There are great homeschooling co-ops out there. So we want to have resources on the website, links that you can go to and get more information about materials, curriculum, and that sort of thing, right? Of course, there'll be an Uhuru Academy link included, you know, with the services that the Uhuru Academy offer. We also want to offer services such as consultation and training. Mm-hmm. You know, if a group of parents get together and say, man, we want to homeschool, we want to do a homeschool co-op, we want to start our own African-centered school through our church, through our mosque, through our temple, inside this property, the family property that we have. We want to be able to put people on the ground that can come train you.
Right.
You know, we'll come train you. We'll bring everything we have. I've been studying this thing for almost 30 years, you know, and we'll definitely bring everything we have. And then the experienced people that we have, like Mama Condi, who's opened five African-centered schools in her time and probably indirectly opened 20 more that she don't even know about. You know what I'm saying? And so we want to definitely make sure that's there. We want curriculum materials to be available to people who come to the website. You know, and so material that are created by Black creators, of course, and so we want that resource to be there as well. So I hadn't even thought about our page on the Nation website, and I'm glad you brought that question up because now you gave us something else to think about and really put out there.
Right, absolutely,
definitely. Do you eventually think that you will have boarding facilities at your school? Like, you know, the children will actually come and stay for a couple of months and just be there, you know, 24/7. Do you envision that at all?
That's actually part of the goal out here at Uhuru Academy SC is to have a boarding situation in the very near future. We in the model that we've developed, you know, there's a lot of new Africans out there, Mama Ayo, they got land that they just kind of sitting on it, you know. We want to bring a model forth where we're not only providing a boarding situation for students here, but a boarding situation for African students throughout the diaspora, where they can come and learn new skills, valuable skills, you know, that they can use and take back to their country, take back to their region, their community, and that sort of thing. So, yes, absolutely. We envision building multiple campuses.
Yes.
That have living facilities on campus, not just one, multiple.
Absolutely.
Our vision is to build an African-centered education industry.
Yes.
Absolutely. Definitely, because you know, one of the things that we are finding out in our communities is as we are being slowly gentrified. And even historical towns, one of the things that's lacking that I'm putting the call out for all new Africans, and you've already addressed it, not only do we need to have all of the STEM, but we need, as Booker T. Washington, we need the brothers and sisters to begin to work again with their hands, the plumbers and the electricians and the heating and the seamstresses and the tailors and the bakers to begin to actually come back into the community and have those mom and pop industries in order to build our wealth, because if we don't have that, it's going to be a problem. Hoping that those things will be incorporated into the 6th through the 12th grade, you know, education. So
absolutely, and. We are blessed to know some Africans who are masters at their craft, many that can't wait for they're waiting on the opportunity to pass that knowledge on. And it's a trip, because many of us have been plagued with, again, that stigma where it's like, well, these young folks don't want it. Oh, they want it.
Right.
They want it. You know, it's just that you feed me a bunch of crap. Now you want to give me heaven, but you done got me used to crap.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, well, thank you.
You got me used to crap. I thought I was going to go to the NBA. Now you're talking about plumbing.
Master plumber.
Now you're talking about master plumber, right? They need to learn about master plumber in pre-K.
Right. Thank you. Absolutely.
Gosh, that.
So, you know, again, we're happy that you are part of this rebuild process, and I hope the new Africans on the phone will know that the provisional government, our ministries are going to be very, very, very dynamic, and we love you, and, you know, we wish you all the best. And you need to talk about anything else.
Yes, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you, Freeland.
We appreciate that. Sister Fern, Vice President. Appreciate that.
We connected. VPs be calling in and stuff. We connected.
No cap. As the babies say, no cap.
The next line is open up is 901-570. Yeah, question, comment, statement, please do so. That Tanya, line is open. 901-570, line is open.
Frida Land, Mama Nkoyo and Baba Amin, how are you? This is President Sama Ott.
Okay, Frida Land,
President. I told you we were connected.
We got the head sister in charge. Come out.
Yes, indeed. Well, you know, since we rooted in collective leadership, we all in charge. Everybody. Our responsibility, you know, and that's the beautiful thing about our government is, you know, we stepping all the way out of the box. You know, you're not going to be able to stop this flow, because leadership and making sure that we all strong enough. So if one fall, it don't matter. We got a whole roll coming right after. So
good thing. It's right.
I am so pleased to hear both of y'all's voices on Minister Bomani's show this evening. I kind of came in late. I came in on time, and then I guess I was having a little technical issues. And so I heard probably the last 50 minutes. And I'm just so
you came
I'm
in
excited.
On time.
Okay. I'm excited to just hear y'all's voices and hear your energy, and it's always exciting for me to link with other brothers and sisters who have made this their lifestyle. They know exactly what they come to the planet to do, and they 100% committed, you know, by any
yes,
and all means. Don't waver. It don't matter if people looking or if they not looking. You're going to do what you do regardless. And so one of the main things in this rebuild process for the nation is to link with brothers and sisters who are serious, serious about this walk, because this is a journey, and we're at war, and we can't act like we're not, you know. So we have to surround ourselves with brothers and sisters who know we're at war and who show it every single day, you know what I mean, by any and all. It does not matter. And it's rooted in principle, rooted in New African principles, rooted in the principles of Ma'at as we catapult forward, because we got a lot of rebuilding to do. And we need all melanated scientific mathematician minds on deck, you know what I'm saying, because we got some many equations to solve, you know? And we got to change our variables, things that we have collectively attempted over the years, and we have to look at it just like that, you know. So I'm honored to have y'all a part of the team, you know, because y'all have proven over the years your track record is impeccable, you know what I'm saying. And so we're looking forward to this rebuild time for the nation, the Republic of New Africa. And any callers on the phone that are interested and that are serious and that are 100% dedicated, please link with Minister Bomani or go on our website, find out some more information. And we thank you. We want to thank you guys immensely.
Well, thank you. We thank you for the call, you know, and we thank you for the honor. To be a part of the rebuild process. Let's get it, y'all.
Okay.
Yes.
I say.
I just want to say I'm grateful while we got a little time just to be in the midst again and to be a part of I tell Amin all the time, you know, I've always been intrigued, fascinated, and just really wanting to learn more about, you know, why is all escaping me. That's ridiculous. But the Black Panther Party, yeah. I've all been how they ran. And then when I found out about the public, provisional government of RNA, man, I was just excited and ecstatic because it took it a step further, and just knowing that we can combine those things and really get that energy and the community involvement and just the outpour that we have with Black Panther and the actual like you said, the methodology and the and just a, the government part, the actual the structure of the RNA. Man, that's a great combination there. So I'm excited. You know, and you know, we always talking about, you know, what would happen if the women run the nations? What would happen if the matriarchs, you know, we about to find out. You know what I'm saying? This is our government. We about to find out, and I'm excited about that. To be a part of the such leadership that we have, and just I'm excited about the future of what is going to hold with Sister President. Madam President, Sama An and Mama Ayo and Mama Kandi and all, you know, the matriarchs that are up there in leadership. So I'm definitely honored to be a part of that leadership and be a part of history making, you know. So I'm excited. And I'm going to do all that I can do that's within my power to make the things that we want, the missions, the visions, make those things come true within our time frame and leave a great legacy and a great black print for our children and our children's children to follow.
Say.
Yes, I say.
Excitement.
It's so exciting. This is a really exciting time. It is. as creators on the people. It is.
I didn't think who thought when I met y'all was buying stuff from y'all booth.
I know, right? Eating all that delicious vegan food, you know, and them cakes and that. Getting all those herbs, you know, that you really, you know, which reminds me, I need to get with y'all. I need some more. But yes, definitely. Who would have thunk it? As the old folks say, wouldn't have thunk it. It's beautiful. You know, it's 6 degrees of separation, as they say.
Yes, and it also shows, too, that, you know, us as highly melanated people, even though we haven't linked up in the physical a whole bunch of times, right, just the impression that your spirit and your energy and your work ethic and what you do leaves on people that you hardly see ever. You know what I'm saying? Those sacred times, you know what I mean, where energies link and it's like, okay, yeah.
Right. Yes. Excitement. So, and let's do it. That's all I'm saying. Let's do it. Put me in, coach. Thanks for putting me in, coach, I should say.
Yes, y'all already been in. You know what I mean?
Yes,
you know,
I see.
Yes, the whole goal was who is already in? Who's already
Already in.
Yes.
All praise to the Creator.
Yes, so we appreciate y'all.
Appreciate you, sister. Have a great night. Thanks for calling in.
Is Bonnie there?
You have anything else to say, President Tamar?
No, not at the moment. Enjoying your show, though.
Okay. I appreciate you for calling in. I got a couple more questions before the time allowed us. My question is, my question about education, right? I know you got political education, you got political prisons. How does political prison and political education coincide with African-centered education?
I think that when it comes to our triumph, our struggle, when it comes to our journey as a people, narrative is everything. And what African-centered education does, first and foremost, it empowers us to control the narrative around our heroes and sheroes, our political prisoners, our brothers and sisters who are simply languishing in prison because of their political beliefs and political action, righteous political action. And African-centered education, first and foremost, justifies, for example, it justifies Asada's escape from prison. You know what I'm saying? It gives understanding to Jonathan Jackson's actions in Marin County. You know what I'm saying? And it wraps the proper context around it, the proper perspective around it, that these are people who are fighting for freedom, period. And you don't have to agree with how they fight for freedom, but you can't demonize their fight.
Right.
Right. And so you build up respect for the story of our political prisoners. You humanize them. For most of our youth, they're being exposed to them for the very first time, right? Those of us who move in these circles, we hear the names and we get opportunities to write the letters and show the support. But there are so many in our community that have no idea.
Right.
And even if they hear the name, they don't know the story behind the name.
Right.
You know, and so African-centered education rehumanizes the African at every stage of our journey, every stage of our existence. It's not enough to say we come from kings and queens.
Right.
Which kings and queens?
Right.
Right? What did they do? What type of government did they have? And then you bring it forward, you know. And so African Civic Education, first and foremost, empowers us to control the narrative,
yes,
and hands the baton to our children, saying, you know, my generation, we got this far.
Right.
You, this is where you're going to pick up the baton. Where do y'all feel like y'all can take it?
Right.
And give it to them and let them have ownership of it, right? It's, I look at our elders and I see why they hesitate to let it go, let go of some of the leadership, because they understand that we haven't been educated to take the lead.
Right.
So with African Center Education, we have the opportunity to educate our children to pick up where we leave off,
right,
and take it to the next level in the fight of our political prisoners right along with that. Also, building relationships with political prisoners on the outside. African Center Schools, I know at one time at the Uhura Academy in Fort Worth, we were writing back,
yeah,
and forth. Our students,
yeah,
were actually writing political prisoners,
yeah,
and studying their story and communicating with them, you know. And so where those opportunities come up, we need to take advantage of that and actually link some of our youth, you know, our youth with our political prisoners once they learn a story. Now, let's actually write to this brother. Let's actually write to this sister. Let's express that. And we've had political prisoners to write back to our students as well. We had an opportunity to be a part of the move to release the Move 9. And
mm-hmm.
we've had, you know, we've
mm-hmm.
had members of Move to speak at the Uhuru
yeah,
Academy. Pamela and Ramona Africa to come through, you know. And when children get passion behind a story at a young age,
right,
you ain't going to pull them off of that.
Right.
You ain't
right.
going to pull them off of that.
Right.
You know, and, but when you find out about the Move 9 at 35,
right,
you're 35 years old,
right,
you know, you don't see the world of possibilities. You,
no.
You're frustrated.
Exactly. With an idea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But when you know at five,
right,
that there have been black people locked up simply because they wanted to fight for freedom for black people, then at five you already have a perspective that, okay, you know what, we have to be our own best friends.
Right.
We have to support one another. If we don't do it, this is someone who's innocent, you know, can be in jail for 40 years just because they want us to be sovereign or want us to be free.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So I hope that answers the question.
True indeed.
What if we had a cadre of schools that raised money that had a black political prisoner fund?
Yeah, right.
You know. What if each school had a fund that went towards political prisoners? You know, remember we used to sell them candy bars?
Right.
Where the heck
right.
did that money
right.
go,
right?
Right. So,
right.
So what if in our schools, when the baby's going out selling this, selling that, portion of that money,
that's right.
you know what I'm saying?
Tithing.
Yeah, tithing is going to brothers and sisters who are behind the walls.
That's
so
right.
We believe that all black people are political prisoners.
That's right.
Locked behind. Some of us are political. Many of us are political prisoners
outside the wall. I say.
Yeah. We actually came political prisoner when they brought us in shackles and chains.
Come on.
Chattel property.
I say. That's right.
I almost want to say the historical New African Order, 1619, but we coming in during the 1500s as well.
Right.
1619 as a historical origin, as a starting point. Even though we were coming before
right.
that time, you know. But yeah, we were political property then. We were chattel slaves then. You know, at political prison. Combatant. We still a captured nation right now. Fight for independence, fighting to be free. And one of the most primary things of our struggle is to support our captive citizens. Be they political. Or not, they're still our catcher citizen. They're still political prison because they're part of our catcher nation.
Right.
You did not consider a political prisoner a prisoner of war by international standards or upon the Geneva Convention standards. They're still a political prisoner in regards to being catholic about it, our nation. So in regards to our reparation, that one thing we ask for, the freedom of our political prisoner as well as the aspect of a land. Not just monetary things.
I say.
You know,
it's always important to learn about, you know, the people who are currently fighting for liberation, currently fighting for independence, currently fighting, you know what I'm saying, the dynamics are trying to create a revolutionary struggle to change the dynamic, to change the rulership of things, you know, who wants to ascribe to self-determination on all levels, right?
I see.
It's always important for the youth to know that, to see that. You know what I'm saying? To know about Asada Secure, like you said, and to know about Safia Bakari, who escaped twice before Asada got liberated. We know about Russell Roman Shake escaping twice, you know. The other individuals like that, know about these individuals who are, you know, some of them still behind him, but like Rochelle McGee, who have been locked in the carcer in 1963. You know, Dr. Matilda Secure.
Wow.
You know, know about Abdul Lubaba Secure. You know, the final GJU. You know, learn about a whole bunch of there's a lot of individuals that actually don't get even any kind of credit or any kind of recognition of being a political prisoner or a prisoner of the war, because they move people resonate with a so called popular list or ones who are popular, ones who are most notable. When all actuality, it's so many political prisoners in the war. You can't count all of them because so many of them, but because of their political beliefs, there's so many of them, you know. So it got to be understood in regards to what's going on, who the individuals are. It didn't take much. You know, a lot of these brothers and sisters just want to communicate. They just want to have an outside outlet, somebody who can communicate with them. You know, that's how it starts.
Yeah.
Communicate. People want to communicate. People want to have some kind of outlet. You know what I'm saying? People want, because you're in a condition where you're in a humane condition. You're being treated like an animal, like a barbarian. You're being treated like an animal, so to speak. You know, you're property of the such and such prison. You're part of the such and such institution. You know what I'm saying? So you basically your hair got to be cut, got to be groomed, and they treat you like you sheep or cattle. You know. That's a dehumanizing aspect, especially when you lock down a lockdown unit, control units, a management unit, and special house unit. You lock down like an animal all the time. You don't have no sound light. You can't see anything. You might not be fed properly. You don't get a chance to take showers all the time, even if they give it to you. You know, you might have to bulk, act a fool to get certain things. Those are the type of conditions.
Definitely. Those are the narratives. Those are the stories that we do need to, let our children know about, or educate anybody who we're in the midst of educating. Need to know those stories. Need to know those realities that are going on. You know, and so that they can be empowered to make well informed decisions about how what they do and how they do things and how they move. Because when you know there are people that are still sacrificing their lives daily for our freedom and for our so-called freedom, then you'll walk a certain way. You'll move a certain way because you know you owe that. You owe that sense of freedom to the people who don't have their right now fighting for their freedom. So those stories that need to be heard, those are very important to know those struggles of our people, past and present. So absolutely right, sir. And we need to have some kind of directory or some kind of somewhere, some centralized location, curriculum about, so we don't know who our political prisoners are of today. You know what I'm saying? And how to support them. Ashe. Absolutely. So that's something else that we can definitely work on.
True indeed. There's some of the things that are in effect are constantly being upgraded. And it's like another thing I'm looking at that. We actually are at war, and a lot of times people don't realize it. They think it's a game. They think just because they hear certain terms or things or situation that people are actually playing, or people just make people just being far fetched on certain things, right? But in reality, we're at war. We attack every day from all levels and planes, right? And even when you look at the final division of government, the way the colors in the flag were arranged. They were arranged to signify that we are at war. That's the way they were the flag arranged the way it is. It's a war flag.
That's why green is at the top, because land is independent, that's what we fight for, you know, and the black is at the bottom, because people that we're trying to rise to their top, right? And Gaidi suggested that. He suggested changing the color because, you know what I'm saying, he was saying that we're going to have two flags. You know, we got two flags. We're going to represent the Garvey flag as international pan-African, and we also going to represent the new African flag because we're new African people. But our color going to be different because we got the land and we're basically at war. And he was saying that until we got an independence, we're going to keep the colors the way they are now until we get independence. And he said once we attain independence, we can change them back to that form if we so choose. You know, that's exactly what he said. That's exactly what he said from the beginning in regard to certain things. So that basically, the new African flag is a war flag. It's a war flag. We fight for that.
Okay.
You know? That with the blood, that with the red is in the middle, smaller, because, you know, they were saying that hopefully, you know what I'm saying, that the bloodlust won't last long until we get independent once we start to fight for real. You know, that was the thought was.
Right.
I say. Well, you know that the battlefield of the African mind is where we specialize in. You know, we are black men under fire.
Parts out, Bob. We actually got 5 minutes left for the show close out. So I want to get y'all final thoughts.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, we're at war. And with the Uhura Academy and the African-centered education movement and the Ministry of Education within the Provisional Government of Republic of Africa, we are engaged in a war for the minds of African people. You know, and so people think it, so they are. And our final thoughts is just to encourage everyone out there, if you're not a part of an organization, become a part of one. If you don't see one that you love, start one, but get engaged and empowering the community. To parents out there, it is never too late to take control. There's one thing that they do not control. They do not control where you send your children to be educated. Consider homeschooling. Consider African-centered education. If you don't have a homeschool co-op near you, start one. If you don't have an African-centered school near you and you don't want to start one, come to us. We'll refer you to one. Or you can join ours. We have to win the minds and hearts of our children if we're going to have a future. That's my.
Ashe. My final thoughts would be to just remember that African-centered education and being in a freedom mindset, that all starts, and fighting for our liberation, our freedom, that starts at home. It starts within your family first. So when you decide to fight for the freedoms of educating ourselves, fight for the freedoms of being in business for ourselves, having land for ourselves, defining our own economic statuses and our businesses, that needs to be taught within your home as well. Bring in your family so that they can be a part of educating themselves and others that they come in contact with, because that is our charge. It's not just for the adults. It's not just for the parents. It's not just for, you know, it's for everyone to take on that charge of educating each other. And also just building a nation from the family and then out. Family and out, because once you have that first, then you can. That's the foundation of it all, and you can go forward in educating and freeing up and ministering with others in order to free the land that is ours ultimately to take. I yield.
Oh, you got that down.
I got that part. I got that.
Okay. Again, I want to thank our come to our broadcast. Show you not even understanding. Thank you for the commitment you all made in the past, the present, and the future. And if anyone have any associates, comrades, little my enemy line, please look into our website, which is www.georgiauniversity.com. Again, it's www.georgie jacksonuniversity.com. And again, Long Island Youth African Independent Movement. And I also stay tuned for the upcoming PGRI radio that will be appearing soon. And keep you abreast with the PGRNA and what a new African Independent Movement. Long Island Resistance, Long Island Youth African Independent Movement, and the struggle of our land for freedom. Peace.
Peace.
Peace. Be the land.
Yes, sir.
Right. Good stuff, bro.
Yeah, that's good. Good.
Yes, thanks
for having me on.
Thank y'all for y'all work and y'all contribution. By any means, sir.
Hey, man, likewise.